Would you be interested in switching your internet service providings to a provider that provides better service of internet service providings than your current provider?
Radio stars are alive and well here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Thanks for listening.
What's up, everybody? It's the one and only Miss Chris. I'm actually reporting to you live from the CKUT offices, but there's a switch. I am not at my usual studio. I am actually using for the first time the, let me look at the mixing console. I had to double check with Spencer that a mixing console is the same as a mixing board, like DJs. So I'm feeling smarter. I'm feeling definitely smarter. Not saying that you'll see me behind a DJ booth anytime soon, but I'm feeling smarter. But anyways, as I told you guys, I was supposed to record today from my home, but recording from a different room in the CKUT offices, but not on the studio. Yes, I'm repeating myself because I'm kind of gagged, everybody at home. I'm gagged. But anyways, today's episode is going to be about hookup culture, but on that note, I'm going to leave you with Erotic City by Prince. I'll be right back. Maybe we can make some time. Give it up to Prince. You know, that's why I find it hard to believe when they tell me that Prince was... I don't find it hard to believe at all when they tell me that Prince was not a queer person, because Prince was known to be quite religious. If there's one way to put it, Prince was known to be quite religious towards the end of his life. And he felt his ways about the LGBTQIA+. But anyways, that doesn't mean they're not one of us. I always say, the biggest people of our communities, there's one letter that we always forget. It's the D for DL. Let me tell you one thing, honey. We are way bigger in numbers the moment we decide to acknowledge our brothers and sisters in the DL church. All right, now, but this is not what it's about today. Today, we're not talking about DL people. We could because they will be coming into the discussion. But what we're actually talking about today, we will be talking about the hookup culture, as I mentioned before the song. But before we do such thing, let me give you a little recap of my week and little things that are to come that you should maybe pay attention. Like, you know, I don't know. Oh, yeah. Me performing at Pride. Yes, yes, yes. You heard it here. Not first. You didn't hear it first, but you're hearing it live first. I am performing at Pride this year, August 12th, at Parc Olympique, Esplanade du Parc Olympique. I am so excited. It's going to be my performance comeback to Pride. I've performed for Pride years ago. I was like 2019, but it was a very different time. A different time in my career, a different time in my artistry. Now, I'm coming back to you with an original song, honey. I'm coming back to you with my first. Yes. First. Yes. No, I'm not breaking up into a freestyle, don't worry. But I'm hitting you with my first original song. It's called Every Night. I'm actually not going to show it to you because I like to keep the element of surprise. One thing I can tell you, though, it's going to give glam rock. It's, you might see me do a few Tina Turner kick and the choreography, because there's going to be, listen, honey, I'm giving you a treatment. And it's going to be an iconic lineup. Shout out to Sayana for putting up the lineup together. There's Miss Boogie on the lineup. Not me receiving messages. Oh my God, is this Miss Amal telling me that she's Miss Amal is back home from New York. Everybody at home. Yes, yes, yes. My girl is back. Welcome her back. Okay, funny enough, as I told you guys, this is my first time using the mixing console. She said as she's looking once again on the panel as if she forgot. You never know, as if it changed. But so it's my first time using the mixing console, and I'm actually playing the music from my actual computer and not from the studio, right? So I just realized that it also means I will be getting messages. If I get messages on my computer, I'm going to get a notification. See, you're learning as you go. You're learning as you go. Oh, all these sounds. My. There we go. You're learning as you go. But you know what's also nice? There we go. Do not disturb. You're learning as you go, but also I'm pre-recording the show, but technically I could, you know, have Jack edit all of this. Hey, Jack. I could have Jack edit all of this and, you know, just give you something nice. Because every night I bring it to you nice. And just like that, I give you one of the lines of my song every night. One thing about me, I'll do my own promo, honey. You gotta romanticize your life. Here we go. I'm even keeping that one. But yes, no, there's not going to be any real editing. I'm just going to keep all the mistakes because, as I told you guys, this is as I'm going on. You know, I'm learning as I go. So I'm extremely excited. This is going to be a new moment in my CKUT history. The first time that I'm actually going to be, can you believe? Because that also means I would maybe be able to use this in the club. Shit, if I'm feeling a bit froggy, I might even bring this when I perform at Pride. I might have one of the girls, one of my DJ girls, you know, they know more than I do about those mixing consoles and whatnot. Have one of those girls, you know, maybe record the situation. Who knows? So many things one can do. I'm feeling better. You know, a few weeks ago, I was telling you guys it was a different time. It was a hard time in my life. I am feeling so much better. I'm working a lot, but I'm, you know, I'm ringing everything together really nicely, real tight, real good. Because I'm coming up for you guys. But also, I'm going to get a break in October. October is when I really get to settle down and not do anything. So I'm working like a crazy bitch till I get to October, and then boom. You might catch me on the, you know, on the beaches of Barcelona. Who knows? You know, I have a K there. Allegedly. But what else about outside of Pride? I think that's pretty much it. You know, you might have seen me outside, definitely. I definitely had a nice weekend. The weather has been quite weird. And talking about the weather, that's one thing we can talk about. Because one of the reasons why I wasn't there last week, can we talk about the air quality? What is going on, everybody at home? And what I'm telling you, sometimes I feel so disconnected. Because first of all, when I woke up, people have been asking me, because you know, it's in the conversation now. When you talk to people and you bump into them, it's one of the things. You talk about the weather, you talk about the fire. I love the echo in this room. Yes. To be noted. But anyways, yeah, you know, when you talk about the weather, you talk about the fire. So when I talk to people and we talk about the weather, the conversation of the fire often gets, you know, brought on. And I feel so dumb sometimes, because one thing about me, I don't really watch the news. Not right now. I don't really watch the news. Often, I get my news from the Shade Room, which is another thing I'm going to... Don't laugh at me at home. If I was to tune in CNN and CBS and CTV and all the C's, they don't have anything to do with my C, which is C for Chris. All right, now, or CKUT. as I'm looking at the poster right now. But so many things, you know, I don't watch the news, honey. It's fear-mongering or of whatnot. But, I do feel like when I'm on social media, whatever I need to be notified of, I will see. Because the people will be posting. And as I said, when people are asking me about the fire thing, the only thing I know is what I saw on social media. So based on you guys' stories, because you guys are the news to me, the community, the people of the world, the children of the world. This is the news. But I haven't been really keeping up too much with the whole fire thing. But when it first really got bad, right? I think it was on a Thursday last week or a week. You know when it really started and everything. So I remember I'm bringing the microphone really close to my mouth. I'm still getting used to. Oh, actually, they gave me a little microphone stand for a reason. Thank you, Spencer. You were right. Way better. Yes, I'm feeling more comfortable. But yeah, so basically, I think it was on a Thursday last week. You know, don't quote me on that. But I remember waking up, and then I go, because me, I'm very much madame. Me and somebody were having that conversation. I'm very much madame, and I have no shame in it. When I wake up in the morning, I like to tie my robe real nice, come out of my room, go out, open the windows, check outside, or open the front yard. You know, I like to see what's going on. You gotta know what's going on in your street. Hell, and I have some type of a crazy landlord. Who knows if I wake up one morning and I'm missing the balcony? Now I go for my morning cigarette and then whoop, fall to my death. So I like to check on the street to see what's going on in these streets. You know, you gotta know what's going on, especially on your block. So I opened the front door. And even before opening the front door, because when it comes to my house, there's the front door, a little section where you like, and between the front door and the door to my actual house, right? We can take off your shoes, your jacket, and then you get to come to the palace. But so basically I opened that door, then I go to the front door, and I'm like, oh, wait. The light was a color that I had never seen the sky be before. And I was not even, from where I was standing, I couldn't even see the actual light. I could only see I couldn't even see the sky. I could only see the reflection of the light, right? So I walk for closer, and I'm like, well, damn. I'm setting it up again, guys. There we go, even more comfortable. So I'm like, well, damn, what's going on? I thought it was like maybe a big... It really felt like a big flash of light, like an orange, very warm flash of light. So I thought maybe there's like, they're shooting something on my street. Maybe there's a... Because sometimes there's a nice little cafe that they use for... when they like to shoot period time pieces, right? Movies and stuff. I've often seen production companies coming on my street to shoot using that coffee. So I was like, oh, maybe there's another thing going on. But then again, no little orange signs had been posted during the week. So I'm like, so I keep on walking and I see it's actually coming from the sky. I'm like, well, wow. Now my first reaction, you know, I'm like, oh, there might be a fire nearby. But then again, I don't hear a sound. The streets were quiet as a mouse. Quiet. So I go online because I can smell it in the air. Also, I can smell it's different. So I go back to my bed. And what do I see? We are on the scale at 416 on that Thursday. Usually, when you go past 5, it's, it's not the best air quality. So I repeat, 416. You would think this was a joke, a video game. I couldn't believe it. So all that to say, this is one of the reasons why I was not there last Monday, because the air quality was still on, it was still, I think, 69, 70, or 80, even 100, 105, I think. And as a smoker, you know me, I smoke a cigarette like nobody. JK. But I smoke weed and I smoke cigarettes. So as a smoker, I was shook. I was really shook. And it took me a few days to really get over it. And now my lungs are feeling a bit better. I'm still coughing a bit, but I'm way better. And I have my CKUT mug. CKUT family, I'm really liking these mugs. You know, when I was getting my little class with Spencer, I was also, when they left for a second and I went to look around, I want to get myself more CKUT memorabilia. Yes, yeah, because it fits my aesthetic. I love a good t-shirt. I love a good graphic t-shirt with something on it. You know, I love my Nikki t-shirt. You know, I love my Eartha Kitt t-shirt. You know, I love my Send the Simple Life t-shirt. What else do I have? I think I have my Haitian flag t-shirt. I like a good graphic tee. So I'm going to get myself a nice CKUT t-shirt and a nice mug. And everybody at home, you should do the same. Because I'm looking at the mug and it says Culture et les Arts. Is that the America? Yeah, that's the Americas, the continent. And then you see the CKUT logo, and then it says Célébrons le 15e. Oh my God, I'm just realizing. It's not a, it's an actual memorabilia. But anyways, get yourself some memorabilia from CKUT. That's my little promo. And I'm going to get myself mine so we can be matching outside in these streets when I have my graphic tee and my graphic booty shorts. All right, now, let me have some water. Way better. But another thing, yeah. So back to what I was saying about, you know, I get the news on social media. What else did I see today is this whole debate between, this whole debate between affirmative action versus legacy admission. So you heard what happened at the Supreme Court a few days ago. Let me actually bring up the entire date. All right. So affirmative action, Supreme Court. So for the ones that don't know at home, affirmative actions in the U.S. is basically a program that makes sure that people from, you know, people from communities and cities and places in the U.S. that don't really have access or don't, or are not even on the, in the conversation to Ivy Leagues or just quote unquote better, you know, universities with more, with where you can do more things, where they have more resources, right? A lot of kids, a lot of students are not even under conversations because if you're just one inner city, one kid in a very tiny little town, small town, Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, how the hell are they supposed to know from you, the recruiters? Well, affirmative action has been placed. When was it placed? In the U.S.? I think it was in the 70s and the 60s, maybe. Let me look it up. You don't like to do things right. There we go. So affirmative action refers to a policy aimed at increasing workplace and educational opportunities for people who are underrepresented in various areas of our society. There we go. It focuses on demographics with historically low representation in leadership and professional roles. Well, let me tell you what's going on at the Supreme Court, honey. The Supreme Court. My apologies. Let me actually. There we go. The Supreme Court is on one, honey. The Supreme Court is on one. So 4 days ago, there we go. U.S. court strikes severe blow to affirmative action. This is the headline. So let me read you. This is from CBC. See, when it comes to online, I'll go online. I'll go on the CBC. I'll go on the CTV. You know, I can read it. I don't know if I can see and hear it. You catch where I'm going with it? But anyways. So the U.S. Supreme Court struck a severe blow to affirmative action on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And the court's latest conservative shift, upending decades of precedent allowing race-based college admissions. Now comes the effort to resurrect the program's stated goal, diversifying America's top schools. Harvard University promised to spend the coming months seeking ways to preserve those values in its admission policy. The White House said it will seek ideas at a summit, produce a report, and collect data illustrating various types of inequities in college admissions. Right. We're not going to let this break us, President Joe Biden said from the White House. Every time I hear Joe Biden said, I'm like, I start, I start giggling. Anyways, were he disparaged the right-leaning court? This is not a normal court, I do agree. The decision came almost exactly 1 year after the country's top court upended abortion access. When I'm telling you the Supreme Court is on one, abortion access triggering a national backlash that may have helped Biden's Democratic Party in congressional midterm elections last November. The politics here aren't identical. Both opinion polls and real-life precedents suggest that there's no guaranteed groundswell. Coming against a Discord decision, recent polling suggests Americans opposed by a lot. Yeah. We know that. 9 states have already banned it, though. But we think, I mean, in 9 states is not that much, but I wonder which states. We'll look up to it later, maybe. That includes one of the most progressive states in the country, California. Oh, California. You still can hear it in my voice, right? The little child, pray for me. My God, in the words of Lauryn Hill. But anyways, when it held a referendum to bring it back in 2020, voters rejected it. Well, well, well. Mm-mm-mm. But now basically what's going on is that Harvard is being sued. Yes, you heard it here. Let me bring you the news, honey. Harvard is being sued. And now we'll take it to CBS. Where did I get the news this time? CBS News. There we go. Girl, what is going on? I will tell you. The people want to know. The people will be told. Harvard is being sued by an activist in America. I love to see it. Activists sue Harvard over legacy admissions after affirmative action ruling. I love to see it. Because for those who don't understand, basically we have affirmative action, right? For the people that are from lower income and less represented communities. But Harvard and all these Ivy Leagues are also known for something else. They're known to be, you know, the queens and the kings of the legacy admissions, meaning if your great 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 grandfather and your great 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 legacy admissions at Harvard University saying the practice discriminates against students of color by giving an unfair boost to the mostly white children of alumni. It's the latest effort and a growing push against legacy admissions, the practice of giving admissions priority to the children of alumni. Backlash against the practice has been building in the wake of last week's Supreme Court's decision ending affirmative action in college admissions. Lawyers for Civil Rights, a nonprofit based in Boston, filed a suit on Monday on behalf of Black and Latino community groups in New England, alleging that Harvard's admission system violates the Civil Rights Act. Why are we rewarding children for privileges and advantages accrued by prior generations? Said Ivan Espinoza Madrigal. The group's executive director, your family's last name and the size of your bank account are not measure of merit and should have no bearing on the college admissions process. Let me repeat that one. Why are we rewarding children for privileges and advantages accrued by prior generations? And your family's last name and the size of your bank account are not measures of merit and should have no bearing on the college admissions process, said Ivan Espinoza Madrigal, the group's executive director. Opponents say that the practice is no longer defensible without affirmative actions providing a counterbalance. The court's ruling says colleges must ignore the race of applicants. Activists point out, but school can still give a boost to the children of alumni and donors. So basically, listen, the way I see this whole thing, America, America has a problem. Beyonce said it recently. America has a problem, and we also are going through that problem here in Canada, and especially here in Quebec. The whole world, you know, a lot of words were outlined in this and both of those articles. Conservative and right-wing leaning pushback. You know? And it really breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart because I saw a video, I wish I could add save the video. The video is on my phone, but one thing at a time. I'm learning how to work the computer and the console. Let's not add the phone into it. All right, now. But I saw this video of Nina Simone, where she talked about how she had been refused. She had been refused the opportunity to get a classical training in, you know, as a pianist. At the, Philharmonic of Philadelphia School or something. On the basis of her being black, it was a different time. It was around the 40s, I think. Yeah, the 40s when she was younger. It was a different time. But the reason why the video broke my heart is that in that video, she broke down. Because she said that she felt she would have maybe been a happier woman had she been a classical pianist instead. Because where she was right now in life, she definitely wasn't happy. And this was Nina Simone. one of the most decorated and respected musicians of all time. Affirmative actions has been placed in order for a status quo to be achieved. Affirmative actions has been placed in order for people that the descendants of the people that once were the slaves that built those damn universities to be able to get an education in those said universities. We can't act as if, you know, we can't forget that once upon a time, madness, pushing back for, you know, bigotry, perhaps. Pushing back for bigotry, definitely, because by keeping young, underprivileged kids from getting an education, and that kind of education especially, with those kind of resources and those kinds of connections that you get after being a Harvard alumni. By keeping those underprivileged students from getting an opportunity of getting those, we're basically perpetuating a cycle. To tell you that I'm... It's a damn shame, and it makes me think, because recently, this morning, I was talking to one of my friends, right? She's in New York, and she was asking me about moving in here in Montreal, which, my, is already, you know... I told her, I said, honey, you might have picked the worst time in history to move here. With the housing crisis that we're going on. The world is in shambles. The world is in shambles. But anyways... This episode is not about the world. I give you the little affirmative versus legacy admission. We will get past this accent one day, my loves. One day. But anyways, so I give you the affirmative action versus legacy admission runabout, just to let you guys know what's going on, because I feel like this was something I wanted to talk about on my show. And I might do an episode later on when it comes to the Canadian lens of the things, right? Because a lot can be said about McGill and not necessarily Concordia, but these other universities and whatnot. But let's go on a song, right? Let's go on a song. And since we're on the topic of I Want to Be Your Love, no, that's the song I'm going to go with. Since we're on the topic of hook culture, let's go with I Want to Be Your Lover by My Baby Prince, our ally in Christ. Prince. Cardi don't need no press. But I'm extremely excited about the song, though. The song that I'm working on. Eventually, I will show you guys when it's ready. I'm actually going to be recording some of the vocals at CKUT. I'm going to be using one or two studios that I have access to. So, when that song is, you know, good to go. Side note, can we talk about Prince in the video? That blowout? You know, I'm in the business of getting a blowout for the summer. Let me know if you know somebody that does good blowouts. And I'm not talking about those blowouts, but I'm not going to say who be doing those blowouts. But those blowouts for the damn relaxer and the conditioner. No, I want my thing to be, my shit to be healthy. But let me know if you know a girl, alright? How about your girl? I'm to you, recording from the CKUT head office. Yeah. How am I doing? Not so bad, not too shabby, not so bad, huh? I'm a quick learner. But also, let me not toot my own horns. But I'm a quick learner, and also thank you so much, Spencer. You really saved my life. And shout out to Spencer, shout out to Jack, shout out to Josh. You people have taught me so much when it comes to broadcasting. Hell, I feel like I could be doing this live on Saint Laurent. Shit, you might see me walking down the street like those annoying people on TikTok. I feel like I understand when I see some of those people that be running. I get it. I be running too. But at the same time, I like a good conversation. So I be saying, who knows? But anyways, the topic at hand today, hookup culture. I'm unzipping my jacket because I'm actually getting so hot in this room. But yeah, I'm actually going to, before starting what I have to say about hookup culture, we're actually going to go with a video that I actually made not too long ago. It was actually my first makeup and thoughts on social media. If you follow me on TikTok or Instagram, you know sometimes I post makeup and thoughts, which are videos where I do my makeup and I... There we go. Videos I'm doing, right? So I'm going to call it makeup and thoughts.
There we go.
My thought of the week. As somebody who always had such a, you know, such a strong relationship with makeup, it's... My mom was a huge makeup girl. I always tell you guys she was a makeup aficionado. The lady knew how to beat her face, honey. Hey, Sayana. But yeah, so I always had such a relationship with makeup in a way that... Oh, by the way, cute trick. Look at my eyes. If you have watery eyes, get on the Q-tip. This is what you want to do. But yeah, as somebody that always equated makeup with my femininity and how I express myself feminine-wise, I always had an issue with when it comes to, you know, having to put on makeup in order to have sex, not just random hookups. Because my thing is, if you want to have sex with me, then honey, you should already see the vision since you want to fuck me, hence the vision. But it makes you want to think, right, if I need the vision in order for me to feel like it, then how am I to expect men to be any different? Let me know what you guys think. Mwah.
There we go. So, thinking of this video that I made maybe 2 months ago, yeah, maybe even 3 months, two months and a half. So thinking of this video that I made not too long ago, especially since recently, you know, I keep you guys updated about my personal life, my private life. This is the Ask Miss Chris. You know, it's kind of, I told you guys the show is based on two formulas, Kara Bradshaw from Sex and the City and Wendy Williams. All right, now, both of ladies that were talking about their personal lives on their platforms. Makes me relatable, makes you guys understand where I'm coming from, and also gives you a better context. So ever since I stopped seeing the Libra, I'll be honest, I've been going back into... I mean, not going back, because I was still hooking up. Me and the Libra were never monogamous and, like, official that way, right? I still had a very healthy sexual life on the side. But now I'm fully going back to that life as a main relational life in a way. And I've been thinking, especially because, you know, I love watching The Take, videos by The Take. And they made a video recently on Samantha Jones because And Just Like That is coming up with season 2, whatever. And there's a cameo about with Samantha, with Kim Cattrall, our fellow Canadian. And when it comes to Samantha, you have to understand, Samantha was the original hookup queen. All right, now, Samantha Jones is the first depiction to me of that I saw personally of someone online, on someone on television or in the media that was not a man, that was hooking up as an adult, very casually, but yet was somebody that was very level grounded, and I was very successful at that, and extremely. One thing about Samantha Jones, people could say whatever they want to say if they want to judge, if they wanted to judge her, but Samantha was a very respectable woman in my book. Especially when you are a woman that, I mean, I'm going off as if she was really a real person, but, you know, her storyline being the head of her own PR management company. Very, very respectable woman in my book, but yet extremely loose. And I say loose with all the love in the world because I get loose of the promiscuous juice, I like to say for myself. Oh my God, side note. I'm recording from a room at the security offices and I just saw somebody with the nicest ginger hair. Oh, no, they might be, you know, they look too young to be a student. But anyways, that person had beautiful hair, mashallah. But yes, so it made me think of hooking up, especially me being back in my hookup moments. Now I'm fully back, like I'm... honey, I'm fully back into hooking up of it all. But now I feel different about makeup with sex, right? I feel different about makeup with sex because now it's like I'm, in a way, fully enjoying doing my makeup before having sex with people. Because now I'm on the apps, I'm on Tinder, I'm on everything. But there's a few things I want to bring up, though, before we get into, because, you know, when I do a topic, I like to also give you the full definition and the full little rundown historically online, just so we can fully have an idea and just, you know, fun facts and stuff like that. But one thing that I do want to say, actually, I'm going to keep that one for later, because there's something in one of the things I read that I can make a nice segue to. But as we go, where are my notes? Open up the notes and let me see what's on the docket today. Yeah. I'm feeling very singy. I'm feeling very, very, very singy. I'm actually singing. You know, I keep on talking about it, but I'm actually singing on the track. I need to stop talking about it because you guys need to be able to just have the element of surprise, as I said. But I'm extremely excited. I'm so excited. You guys have no fucking idea. But anyways, as I'm getting my notes, no, this is not it. Because when I went online on Google, Wikipedia, and the other websites, and I saw what they had to say about the hookup culture as a culture, I was like, oh, wow. Funny that... You'll see. Because I learned quite a few interesting things. Let me close a few tabs. Oh, guys, I'm also so hungry. You guys have no idea. I have been, not running around, but I have been working all day. I'm trying to be productive this week, especially because I'm going to have a long week ahead. There we go. I hope everybody has been drinking their water also. Because trust and believe, there's nothing worse than to be dehydrated and hungry. Nobody deserves that. There we go. So if we go online, a hookup culture is one that accepts and encourages casual sex encounters, including one-night stands and other related activity without necessarily including emotional intimacy, bonding, or a committed relationship. It is generally associated with Western late adolescent sexuality and in particular United States college culture, which is quite funny when you think of it. I always say the United States is the Beyonce of the countries. It's the one everybody's be looking at. But following up, but funny enough, also one thing that I do want to point out is, and that's the reason why I started with Samantha Jones, because Samantha Jones was a woman of a certain age. And you'll see from what I gathered online, most of what you see about the hookup culture is associated with youth. But what I'm really wondering is, what about the people in their 40s and their 50s? Because Vivica A. Fox is another one of the reasons, is another reason why I kind of did this episode today, because Vivica A. Fox, great actress, legendary. You saw Kill Bill, you saw Two Can Play That Game. Two Can Play That Game, exactly. You saw Two Can Play That Game. You saw Medium, where she was playing that FBI agent. I love Vivica. Vivica is an icon. She was on Empire. You know, Vivica is an icon. But I saw a video about her, on her, and she was talking about how she, in her 50s, mid to late 50s, still didn't find love. And still was going through, and still wasn't over some painful breakups that she went through from other previous relationships. And I was like, well, damn. Not to say I wonder if she was hooking up, if she's hooking up currently. You know, that's none of my business, none of our business. And that doesn't, you know, have anything to do with why I did that episode when it comes to her. I was inspired to do the episode when it came to her because I was like, there is definitely a whole part of the world when it comes to, you know, middle-aged people and people of an older, of a particular age, like Wendy Williams used to say, that don't necessarily, that are not necessarily in any committed relationship and are still having sex. You know? But when you go online, you can't really find any data for that. Who knows? But anyways. Not the computer. Everybody at home. My computer is acting up a fool. Stop recording. No, I do not want to stop that recording, honey. Oh my God. Okay, there we go. Oh my God. See, that's why I don't do technology, everybody at home. But that's the joys of working live. And we're keeping that in the edit, Jack. All right, now everybody at home. But anyways, so following up, since the 1920s, there has been a transition from an age of courtship to an era of hookup culture. Technological advancements, such as the automobile and movie theaters, brought young couples out of their parents' homes. Wow. And out of their watchful eyes, giving them more freedom and more opportunity to engage in casual sexual activity. Makes total sense when you think of it, because I was wondering, hookup culture, right, had started way before the 1920s. Because another thing that I saw online is that they were saying that technically researchers had found that when, if you think of it, hookup culture had in a way started in the 1800s, because a lot of older wealthy white men that were in colleges and universities used to go to, you know, brothels and whatnot and have sex with enslaved people, which I want to clarify, that is not a hookup. That is sexual assault. That is the R word, all right? That is rape. These poor women and poor men were not taking part of hookup culture. I don't care what is that storyline of a Pocahontas movie they want to sell me. I don't buy it. The power structure is too strong and too present. But anyways, I digress. So those men were known to go to brothels and stuff like that. And, you know, this is in a way kind of the beginning, in America at least, of hookup culture. And I guess in Europe also. Brothels were also the beginning of hookup culture, if you think of it. Even though I don't want to categorize brothels and sex work as a hookup, because you're paying for it. It's a service. Not the same. But it makes sense that since the 1920s, which is when the cinema really took its life, right? Hollywood and everything, and the silent pictures. And the automobile and everything in the early 20th century, it makes total sense. Because people were able to go out and do the nasty. Another thing, though, however, research shows that COVID-19 has impacted hookup culture by lowering the prevalence of casual sex. I jumped, right? Because there's the 60s also that we should mention. The 60s, I didn't mention, because I feel like everybody is aware at least. I mean, if you're of a certain age, you went to school, you know that the 60s were sexual revolution. So a lot of things came about in the sexual revolution. You know, the pill, the contraceptive pill came in the 60s. A lot of turmoil. A lot of people were not okay. A lot of people were not doing okay with it. However, research shows that COVID-19 has impacted hookup culture by the prevalence of casual sex. Difficulties in defining the term can lead to a different perception of its prevalence, which is another thing. Hookup culture is vaguely defined due to a variety of perspectives taken on the subject relating to human sexuality. It is hard to make a sense of hookup culture without understanding why it exists in society and why individuals participate in that culture. According to Shannon T. Budram, which is a very funny statement. Listen to this. And let me cough a bit. You know, my throat is still not fully there. My lungs neither, honey. I love how easy it is to just mute myself with this little mixing console. But according to Shannon T. Budram, hooking up is nothing more than settling. I would kind of disagree, but later on maybe. It is the microwavable burrito of sex. Whatever. But hooking up is engaged in for the instant gratification. For certain people, that's true. For sex, pleasure, a feeling of being loved, an emotional feeling of being adhered to. The thought of the potential, now this is the part I actually really agree with. The thought of the potential of the hookup developing into something less casual and many more reasons. Because that's the thing, right? A lot of people get into the hookup culture thinking that it's going to lead into something else. Now, see, when it comes to me personally, me and hookup culture, I'm hooking up simply because I actually like sex. I love casual sex. Welcome to the city, everybody at home. Spencer showed me how to mute, like, in a way to... But, as I said, let me not get too froggy, all right? Let me not start playing with too much of these buttons on that panel so I get stuck, because I think he's actually gone now. But anyways... You heard that? That was so not a honking sound. I went so overboard. But anyways, welcome to Montreal. I love the city. But a lot of people will be hooking up for different reasons, right? A lot of people will be hooking up thinking that it starts there simply because they want to have sex, and they keep on hooking up simply because they caught feelings. There's no other way to put it. They caught feelings for a certain person, and now they're hoping for a different outcome with the hooking up. You got to be true to yourself. And another thing when it comes to the hooking up is you also have to, how can I say this, right? Let me sit tight. Ah, there we go. Now I have it. Oh my God, the joys of working life. The microphone just fell. The microphone just fell on me, everybody at home. But Spencer was not lying. Those damn microphones are very sturdy. It didn't break. I mean, it didn't hit the floor. Hey, it didn't hit the floor. I'm quick with my reflexes. But I digress. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Everybody at home, it's been a long day. But we're knocking it through, and I'm going to get my food as soon as I get the hell out of the studio. But when it comes to hookups, right, this thing about friends with benefits, because hookup culture also can imply friends with benefits. But this is my own definition of friends with benefits. For us to be friends, you got to be friends outside of my house, outside of your house, outside of a room. Because I usually don't just hang out with my friends inside the house. When I'm with my friends, you know, we can easily go get a meal, go get a drink, go smoke a joint at the park, go run errands, go on a walk, go to the restaurant, go to the movies. I do a lot of things with my friends. So if we're friends with benefits, and I feel like a lot of you guys should keep that in mind, if somebody is your friend with benefits and they only see you within four walls and private, honey, that is not a friend. That is a friend of the boudoir. That is a lady of radiant red. That's your lady of the night friend, lady of the evening friend, man of the evening friend, bedroom fellows friend. This ain't no friends with benefits. All right? It's just a glorified hookup. You might have amazing conversation when you're up with that person. And then again, to a certain extent, yes, if you just have hookups with that person, that makes sense. But if that person is not willing to be seen in public or do public things with you that imply seeing you in public, then honey, it's not a friends with benefits situation. All right? But another thing that really made me, you know, because that's a conversation I remember having with Miss Monib not too long ago. I remember having this conversation because another thing about hookup culture, me going back on the full spec, you know, full throttle of the hookups. You know, it's summertime, we're showing up more body, and I'm always showing body, but it's, and you should see me right now. But in the summertime is where I really go, you know, out the most, because that's where you can. And more comments about bodies, which I really appreciate. I can't act as if I get awful comments about my bodies on the regular. No, I just like anybody else, I think I've gotten awful comments in the past for sure. But I've never got, you know, I know what I look like. And which is why I've always kept the body conversations when it comes to me very short, brief, because I always say there's only so much you can complain about when you walk around with a six pack. So I know where I'm standing in this situation, but it's just I wanted to be fully transparent with you guys, because it's the conversation switches when I speak about hookups, especially now that I do my hookups I fully present feminine when I have sex. I don't mind, I mean fully present feminine, because I'm in a space where with the hairstyle that I currently have, that's very manageable and very easy to recreate. How far I've gone with my makeup skills, so many things, right? I'm so much more comfortable when it comes to having sex with makeup because I'm much more comfortable in looking and my full glam. I know how to do a quick glam in 20 minutes and still look amazing. Fishy, 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 cunt. All right? So it's a bit different, but comments about bodies are made. Because now it's not necessarily about how fit I am, how skinny I am. No, but it's more so about what kind of body type do I have? Because even though it really got me my body type in a way, because if you want to talk about hooking up, if you want to talk about gender and stuff like that, and I'm seeing on the recording that we're like 48 minutes in, so I might have to do it in a two-part episode. And I might come back with a second part with guests. We'll see. But when it comes to hooking up and stuff like that, it's been different because, you know, just recently, I'll tell you that story. This man messages me, he's kind of cute, blah, blah, he calls me pretty, and I says I'm attractive, blah, blah. Asks for a picture, I send him my picture, tells me what he's into, tell him what I'm into, blah, blah. Asks for more body pics so he can get a better idea, I was a bit confused about, because my album and the news I have on Grindr, you know, I'm pretty straightforward. If you want to see nude and if you want to see body pictures, I have full frontal, I have back frontal, like, you can see my full body. I'm not somebody that's shying away from taking body pics. Especially not, you know, I take pictures all every day. Shit. If you know me, you know I will probably have, God forbid, but if I have arthritis later on in life, I'm probably going to have it on my right arm for holding that phone every damn day taking a picture. I'm always taking a selfie. That's just me. I like to see how I'm doing all right now. But I then got to understand from, you know, diving deeper and then the way he was asking the questions, that he wanted to see how much boobs, how much body fat, how the body fat was, you know, proportion in my body to see, and then because he asked if I was on hormones, you know. So, oh wow, there's only 10 minutes left, and I have to find a way to wrap. I'll wrap it up with that story. I didn't see the guy. I didn't. But it made me think. Because you know what? I have an idea. What I'm going to do, right? Because today's episode, I'm going to leave it at that. Because I'm definitely going to come back. Because now that I can bring this. Also, another thing is I can use that panel to go home. So my loves. Now that I've told that story, remember that story, right? I didn't end up meeting the guy, though, because that's all there is to say about that story. It did make me think. It did make me think about how bodies are perceived, though. Because that's really where I was heading towards. But since I only have 10 minutes and for everything that I wanted to say about it, I won't have the time to fully dive into it. And my throat is also running out of power. But I'm definitely going to play a little song for you guys. Because next week I'm going to come back with the same topic. But we're going to come back with some guests. And I'm going to try. I often do a good job at it. But I'm going to have a little diverse guest so we can talk about certain things. Ooh, it's going to be fun. But anyways, on that note, since, you know, some people wanted to question my womanhood or my femininity. I prefer the word femininity often as a non-binary girl. But my femininity, more than a woman by Aaliyah. Ba-ba-ba-da-da-dum. I'll see you guys next week with a follow-up of this episode, Hookup Culture. But anyways, everybody at home, thank you so much for keeping, you know, bearing with me. I did my best. I did a great job, I like to believe. Josh, Spencer, Jack, you let me know how I did. But anyways, this was More Than a Woman by Aaliyah. Actually, this is More Than a Woman by Aaliyah. But this was Miss Chris on CKUT. Bye. I said I'll be...
C is for
cauliflower.
Confusion. Creation.
Pickle. K is for
kitten.
Cam.
See, wait. Fianrupsig. U. Unbearable.
U is for underground.
Oh, yeah.
Umbrella.
T. Trite.
Tremendous.
Torment.
Tire.
C. K.
I can't think of a U one. T.
T.
F is for famous.
Fun. Fumble. M is for Montreal.
The Festival International Nuit d'Afrique invites you to its 37th edition in Montreal from July 11th to 23rd for a worldwide musical journey. Hundreds of artists from Africa, the Caribbean, and Latin America will entertain you with more than 150 concerts and activities for the whole family. Enjoy this festive and unique event rich in discoveries. Don't miss Blik Bazé from Cameroon, the famous Kora Night with Sekou Keita and Zal Sissoko, or Saïd Manaoui and Trans Nawa Fusion, and much more. Visit festivalnuitdafrique.com for the complete program.
No Canada, Canada! Me mama! Kingston Music present Reggae on the Radio, July 15, 2023. At the Centennial Park, Smith Falls, Ontario, Canada. You'll be entertained by the man called Principal Charlie Chaplin, Hugo Barrington, Ricky Chaplin, Jack Grundy, Leroy Gibbons, Michael Buckley, Jack Otter, Cario McLean, James Shadow, and no other than the selector LDG. You will entertain by a bad, bad sound, so just come out of your tens and toes and freestylers, Chicks and Chapo. Road Warrior sound, and you'll be entertained by the sound called KRS-One, Cruise Rock sound. General admission, $80, so make that a date and don't be late, cause that shall be very great. Charlie Chaplin said that. Do it! No change of this here, me. Them can't hear me, them a try if you free me. Everything we happen out a road, them a blame me. Charlie Chaplin says, so come out now, your tens and thousands. It's a big family here, you hear?
Caribbean Food Factory is available for all your special occasions. Come get a taste of authentic Jamaican cuisine prepared by none other than Montreal's top chef, Lloydie. You can also come sample our homemade natural juices. You can pick up, you can dine in, or you can also have it delivered directly to your home by Skip the Dishes or Uber Eats. We also offer catering and hall rentals for all your special occasions. Caribbean Food Factory, 5311 de Maisonneuve West on the corner of the Carré. You can link us 514-481-2444 by email at foodfactorycaribbean@gmail.com.
The words mental illness, what do you think?
I have friends who don't even know that I suffer from depression.
Why don't they know?
Because I'm scared they'll ostracize me if they know and then they'll abandon me. I don't want to be alone.
You're discriminated against when you have a mental illness. With other illnesses, there's compassion.
It doesn't take much to be diagnosed mentally ill.
Due to an outburst, I was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. And now the doctors say it's something else.
20% of people and counting have had or will have a depression.
People throw different labels around. You're this or you're that.
Everybody psychoanalyzes someone during a conversation.
You have a right to express emotions.
Anger, love, hate, sadness, confusion. It does not mean you're ill.
If you're down and out, seek help. Don't be scared. It can be very...
Vous écoutez L'Espo Son avec Nathalie Di Palma sur les ondes de CKUT 90.3 FM.
Bonsoir, vous venez d'entendre la voix de Colette Schreibert. Vendredi le 23 juin, nous étions tous et toutes sous le choc en apprenant le décès de Colette. Coco pour les intimes. Coco produisait et animait l'émission Coco Jazz à CKBL depuis 2012. L'émission a fait le tour du Canada sur l'ARC et RFA et était diffusée sur plus de la moitié des